Thank you and good afternoon. As you've heard, I'm from Queensland, and as Alan said earlier, most of the fires in Australia actually happen north of the Tropic of Capricorn, but the most missing ingredient there is the people, and therefore, from a fire service perspective, we don't spend a lot of time actively fighting those fires. But I'd like to make a few comments generally across a couple of separate topics. We heard today a very much stated fire service saying that the person that owns the fuel owns the fire problem. But I guess we need to really think about that as to what it means in today's society. When that was stated, it was probably at the time when we were used to a much more farm-based and rural-based community where groups of farmers got together and formed their own initial go at fire, their own fire brigades, if you like. That's changed dramatically in most communities in Australia, and we've heard that today. So we may say that, but the reality is that a lot of landowners and don't actually get it. They don't know what to do, and often are not interested in seeking advice or education or awareness until they're faced with a real and present danger. So that's a job for us in terms of how we go about educating and making our communities aware. It's primarily an urban interface issue where the real problems occur, but it's not just an urban interface issue. Many of our western communities, in fact, have one or two people managing huge properties. The capacity to do any sort of fire management is greatly reduced in much of our broadacre areas. We talked also today about risk management as a concept, as we know that risk management is generally a factor of frequency and consequence. And we started to engage I could say, the age-old debate of how frequently should we burn? What are the consequences of burning or not burning? Somebody else stated here today about concerns to risk aversity, which is also very, very real. The safety of firefighters, the safety of people come first, and the reluctance to engage in direct attack sometimes and fast initial attack has, in some cases, led to fairly disastrous outcomes. So there's a whole range of issues in relating to risk management, and that's a concept that's widespread throughout all our agencies, all sectors, all businesses. Most people adopt a risk management framework of some type. It's about how we introduce the relative controls, how we mitigate what we see. And we've talked a lot about forests here today, but let's broaden the term and call it bush. And also there is a grassland element as well, although not as prominent. So risk management for us at a fire scene becomes structural triage, making decisions about which properties and which assets are defensible. And they're real and dynamic decisions that have to be made. But we don't want to be there. We want to make sure through proper town planning and the point colleague from JCU raised about urban planning and town planners being a missing ingredient in this forum, I think has been acknowledged as a good point as well. We actually want to, through proper planning, make sure or reduce the opportunity, mitigate the opportunity for those circumstances to arise. Within the Queensland Fire and Rescue Service, we have the state planning policy in Queensland, which focuses on particularly bushfire, flood, and landslip. But we have our own offices embedded, for example, within the Gold Coast City Council to give sort of a third-party approval process to the pressure from developers. You can imagine the Gold Coast hinterland, we've got some very real risks, but we've got people in there doing a great job where we hope to not create future problems. A point that I'd like to focus on is the point raised by Phil Chaney this morning. And Phil, I keep this temptation of going to call Phil Dick, but I've got to keep dropping that out. I don't think the two characters are very similar. Phil raised the very important point that the knowledge of fire, the concern about fire, has been lost from the consciousness of the average Australian. I think that's absolutely true. The nature of people even that we're getting to join our volunteer fire services are people who have absolutely no idea about fire. Sure, we can train them, but they're coming from a different mindset, a different place. So a lot of the premise that we based our thinking on, like who owns the fuel, owns the fire, that people in the community are resilient, the natural Australian bushman, the person that's growing up in a rural agricultural environment where they use fire in the landscape, it's no longer there. And it probably hasn't been there for quite a number of years. It's a real concern for us. When Jerry was speaking, he reminded me of a conference I went to the US in about 4 years ago now, where the debate seems to be now gathering a lot more momentum. One of the US Forest Fire Service people got up and said, the forests in the US are diseased, dying and dead, and we've done it by keeping fire out. The next point he went on to make was that Smokey Bear was actually too effective. The concept of the icon of Smokey Bear in the American mindset has been too effective in keeping fire out of these places. And my proposition, picking up from what Phil said that triggered the thought in my mind, we probably need some kind of icon ourselves nationally to promote that not all fires are bad. We need some way of getting into the community consciousness that fire is a part of the Australian landscape and a very important part, and that we shouldn't be frightened or scared of it or adverse to the use of fire in control of our landscape. So what do we actually expect of our community? I think what we've noticed in Queensland in trying to prepare various parts of the community for bushfire awareness is that people's interest levels, unless there's been a recent fire event in their community, is very, very low. They're not interested until almost the emergency is upon them. Thank you. And what we're actually trying to do, and I absolutely support the bushfire CRC and the introduction of the social sciences and the work that's going on into how humans behave and the attitude of humans and what we expect of them, how to react. Now, we know from evidence and the evidence-based research of stay and defend or go early policy that AFAC promotes is very sound. But giving people the feeling of confidence, as said was by John, that it's okay to do this. You can stay and defend your property safely. When we see on too many occasions, and again in Western Australia, I think late last year, the young school teacher lost a life trying to escape at the last minute from a fire. How many times have we heard that? There were angry fires in South Australia. We've seen constant examples. So it's part of our requirement, I think, to really find a mechanism, hopefully through the research, to get a means of communication to our community about fire, how to react, how to behave, and do so safely. I'll leave it there. Thank you.